Well, your dadgum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dadgum government. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Gum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Do you get gum, gum government? Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Selling no good sons of a shoe-fitting fire starters. Ought to tell you no good premillatory bone frame and nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry ratchet fratchet. You got yourself an itch.
Government and ratchet fratchet. Who could ever come up with anything as beautiful as Roger Miller defining the greatest nemesis ever known to mankind? We call it government. Well, welcome everyone to Rebel Madman Radio here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, and welcome you to a Saturday afternoon and to, you know, what a beautiful day. You know, it's just been great. It's kind of cloudy here, about to rain. I can look out my window and I can see, let me see, 1, 2, 3 different tailgate parties for the upcoming game between the University of Georgia Bulldogs and those LSU Tigers. Lots of folks out there. Beer, wine, alcohol, bonfires. Guys, what would it be like if we could get that kind of support for rightful liberty in this country? What if people lined up all over the country and had tailgate parties?
Well, you dadgum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, you dadgum government.
That Ratchet Fratchet again,
the old Ratchet Fratchet, yeah, that's for sure. Well, guys, we're sorry for a little bit of technical difficulties there. It may have been on my end. If it is, I certainly apologize. But we're here today on Republic Broadcasting Network, the Rebel Madman Radio, and we are going to jump into a great subject today, and I am so fortunate to have my good friend Stephen Douglas Whitener with me. And so, Stephen, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine, Mike. Thanks for asking me to join you. I had a good time earlier up at the Dixie Republic broadcasting live from there. I'm looking forward to April the 1st when we'll be there. That's going to be fun.
Oh, that is going to be a treat, isn't it? And
yes, sir.
Before we jump into the subject, folks, I would like to ask you if the freedom of speech is important to you, if you care about it and care about opposing viewpoints, listening to someone who is not totally propaganda, government propaganda. If you want to keep up with the free speech in America, then here's the place you need to be. You need to find some way, if at all possible, to donate to Republic Broadcasting, because they are bringing you on a daily basis freedom of speech. So, well, Stephen, that being said, let's jump right into the subject today. Are you all set for that?
Yes, sir. You mentioned what asked me the question earlier. What was the difference between the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Secession? And I haven't been able to figure one out yet.
Well, we're going to jump back here into a lot of history. And what I wanted to set out to do today was to prove to Americans who are listening in that Americans do not learn history based on facts or truth. They have been taught history based on emotions. And only emotions can take two similar circumstances and make one of them good and one of them bad. Emotions is what drives that. It cannot be logic, because logic would tell you two things being very similar are similar. And one is not bad, and the other one super good. And so I just wanted to start off, Stephen, with a back in 1765, when they first came, when King George and Parliament first came out with the Stamp Act. And the Stamp Act was the, if you want to call it, the straw that broke the camel's back with the American colonists. They had had enough. And suddenly they got hit with the Stamp Act, and then Patrick Henry makes his presentation at the Virginia House of Burgesses. It spreads into Boston with Samuel Adams and those people, and then it just spreads all over the 13 colonies. And it ended up being 1776, 11 years later, it fomented a revolution, and so we had it. But let's look at something that went on in Parliament in 1764 as they were preparing this Stamp Act. And so actually they were debating it, but one Charles Townsend, whose later tax measures implemented on the colonists would be called the Townsend Acts, he and Isaac Bear were having a really good debate. And so it's not very long, but here's what I would like to read for you. And so Townsend, who was the ultimate statist, and we have a government full of those today, here was his statement, and I quote, "And now will those American children, planted by our care, nourished by our indulgence, until they are grown to a degree of strength and opulence, and protected by our arms, will they grudge to contribute their might to relieve us from the heavy burden of debt?" To which Isaac Bear replied, "They, planted by your care? No, your oppression planted them in America. They fled from your tyranny to a then uncultivated and unhospitable country, where they exposed themselves to almost all the hardships to which human nature is liable. Actuated by principles of true English liberty, they met all these hardships with pleasure, compared with all those they suffered in their own country, from the hands of those who should have been their friends. They, nourished by your indulgence, they grew by your neglect of them that was exercised in sending persons to rule over them in one department after another, sent to spy out on their liberty, to misrepresent their actions, and to prey upon them. Men whose behavior on many occasions has caused the blood of these sons of liberty to recoil within them. They, protected by your arms, they have nobly taken up arms in your defense, have exerted a valor amidst their constant and laborious industry for the defense of a country whose frontier, while drenched in blood, its interior parts have yielded all its little savings to your emolument. And believe me, remember I this day told you so. That same spirit of freedom which actuated that people at first will accompany them still. The people, I believe, are as truly loyal as any subjects the king has, but a people jealous of their liberties and who will vindicate them if ever they should be violated. But this subject is too delicate, and I will say no more." Unquote. So, Stephen, what'd you get from that?
It sounds like the situation we have today, where we're just being oppressed by that same government. These, and just average people, they're not, they fled from that tyranny and from the boot of the banker too. That Stamp Act was, didn't it boil down to, they had to use their currency to pay that to buy those stamps, more or less, that they had to adhere to a certain to their currency, their bank, and there was no way out of it. Wasn't that part of it? Now I may be misunderstanding, but straighten me out if I'm wrong about that. Because you said that please.
No, go ahead.
Well, it just, that you said that was the final act, and it just, they would, they were able to shuffle off most of the other ones, but to get that stamp, they had to go to this one particular source. And it just that like you said, that's what I've been told, that it was that I had learned, that it put us under the Bank of England, more or less, to pay that stamp. And you know, you've gone over how the bank here was corrupt too, to start with, when they funded the revolution with Robert Morris and all that. But even before that, it had to do with them, the debt that was incurred by that war, that other world war, the one that the 1760s with France and the empires and stuff, they wanted to extract money from us to pay for that because they were quote unquote protecting us here. Does that sum it up some?
Yes, it does. Yes. The crazy thing about the Stamp Act was the Stamp Act taxed almost everything that people touched. In other words, to put it succinctly, King George and Parliament was trying to get the unlimited taxation that the Constitution gave us in 1788.
Yeah.
So they wanted complete taxation. They wanted to tax everything if it moved, everything that was traded. They wanted to tax newspapers. You had to pay a tax to buy a newspaper. Everything that you bought, including any illegal documents, had to be stamped with that stamp. But the Stamp Act covered everything that the people would use. And that was really the tipping point. And it's kind of ironic that was what they wanted to foist on the American colonies, which, about 12 years later was foisted on the colonists again by their own government under the new Constitution.
Yeah, it seems to repeat itself over and over again throughout our history, doesn't it? Yes, sir.
Governments are just always going to do that. That's what they do, you know. And so that is, but let's look at some things here and stop and think about this. So then in 1775, we have a violent encounter at Lexington Green between Major Pitcairn of the Redcoats, and he came, and there was an assembly at Lexington and Concord. And he came to the assembly and he told them all to lay down their arms and go home. Now, history tells us there was a shot fired. Doesn't tell us who fired the shot. It's called a shot that was heard around the world. But we know that there was a shot fired. So we have the opening of hostilities right there in 1775. Now, this is 10 years of after 10 years of turmoil over the Stamp Act, but the Stamp Act was never actually implemented, but they, because of all of the resistance, but they kept coming up with taxes in other ways, the Intolerable Acts and all of the other stuff that they were putting on the colonists. And finally, they just had enough and said, no, we're not doing this anymore. But in today's world, Stephen, people today look at the 1776, 4 months from now? 4 months from today, I think. Isn't that right? We're going to be celebrating Independence Day. There'll be huge celebrations everywhere. But what are the... Let's look at the similarities. Now, King George just really messed up. Because if King George would have just said in 1776 or 1775, well, the only reason you guys are going to war is because you want to keep your slaves.
Yeah.
If he would have just said that, America would have been demonized forever for even attempt this, but that was exactly what was going on. The colonists did want to keep their slaves. And how many people are aware that King George III issued an Emancipation Proclamation?
I wasn't. When
he didn't call it that, it wasn't called that, but what he did was he offered freedom to any of the slaves who would desert and come over and fight for the British. And that's in essence what the Emancipation Proclamation was, because Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation freed nobody.
Oh, no. And turned people into contraband and the horrible things that happened then. That's one of the things that I've learned from you that just horrifies me every time I, I remember it. And who's been taught that history? Nobody in public school gets taught the truth about this, or about all of the other prisoner of war camps that were up north, too. I was listening to something you talked about earlier, how if you ever mention a Civil War era prisoner of war camp to anyone around now, the only thing they're going to think of is Andersonville. That's all they ever talk about. They don't talk about all the ones. Was it Elmira? But several at Camp Douglas, too, in Chicago. There was just so much has been hidden from us. It's just like you said, it's they pull a certain emotion to reinforce their agenda and their narrative, not the truth and not logic.
Well, just think if, as I said before, not to be redundant, but if King George would have just said, well, those damn colonists are just fighting to keep their slaves. If he would have been smart enough to say that, today the majority of Americans would be British subjects and just would hate the colonists for what they did.
I believe you're right, sir.
At least that's the emotion that has been used against almost everything we even look at and talk about. But here's my point with that, what happened on 1775 at Lexington and Concord. How is that different from Fort Sumter?
Yeah, I don't see any difference. I mean, well, I would say one difference, that Fort Sumter was occupied in the midnight in civilian clothes after they had spiked the, you know, the weapons at Fort Moultrie with subterfuge, whereas I don't know, Lexington and Concord seemed like it was more right out in the open, maybe. I guess I could point out that difference, perhaps.
Well, the point of it was, is Major John Pitcairn, as he said, lay down your arms, rebels. Lay down your arms and go home. The thing of it was, is he had been sent there to confiscate the gunpowder.
Yeah.
And so that is where the resistance was coming from. And, of course, Samuel Adams was heavily involved in secluding away that gunpowder that they were looking for. But if we look at it today, you know, there are so many similarities here, but people can't separate it intellectually, because they have been fed emotional claptrap for their entire lives. And so they look at it as if there is truly something different here about this. So let's think about something else. Now, if Abraham Lincoln had the right to force the South to remain in the Union, then King George had the right to force the colonies to remain under the crown. Is there a difference?
I can't think of one, no, sir. I mean, might makes right in this regard, is the way that history has shown it, and the, you know, the victors write the history, and we're still under the same boot today. That it just gets to be a more oppressive boot and invades more and more of our lives. Instead of just stamps, now it's this digital currency and this device that we carry around with us, recording everything we do, everywhere we go, our social credit score, it's a digital prison now. But it's been coming to this from the beginning, just the convergence of it. There's the word, convergence of it all, sometimes is overwhelming.
Well, we have put up with this oppressive government, and not only put up with it, we have supported it in many ways. Voting is one of the huge ways of supporting it, and we've done that, and we continue to do that. I'm talking about collectively, not you and I, but people do that, and they continue to support government no matter how corrupt it becomes. They continue to support it because they have been trained in the public fool system to be good little serfs. They do not teach independence in school. They do not teach individuality in school. It's just not done because that's not what they want. And we can go all the way back to, I think it was 1909, when John D. Rockefeller put... Oh, well, got a little break here, guys. We'll be back with you in a few.
What does does it say about a society who elects people who can't quote their own founding documents? I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, just in case you ever need to use your Second Amendment right to bear arms. We all had fun with President Biden having a little brain fart quoting the Declaration of Independence. You know the thing. Well, last weekend, Vice President Harris did something far more sinister. She intentionally left out life in listing our unalienable rights. Clearly, she did this because she was speaking to a pro-abortion group, but that doesn't explain her first omission. The second, before omitting life as an unalienable right to pander to the crowd, she left out God to create the new progressive version of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Our rights do not come from an all-powerful government, and that is what makes the United States the greatest nation in the history of the world. We are doomed to tyranny if we allow our politicians to forget or ignore that. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news.
Ah, America, where have you gone? Thanks, Merle. May you rest in peace, sir. Well, okay, there we are. Stephen, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great, sir. Yeah, it's overwhelming sometimes when you look at this thing, too. I was talking about how it all seems to converge on this device in my hand these days, you know? I have to turn this thing off sometimes and just, you know, leave it in the car or something. I know you remember a time without them, but there's so many people that don't remember a time when we weren't hooked up like this. And it just, I don't know, sir. It can get to be a bit much, you know. I look at what's happening in the news and I try not to live in fear or anything, but they're talking all kinds of crazy stuff this coming week. And I thought, okay, it's March Madness, I guess. So, yeah, nothing new under the sun, I suppose. Yes, sir. Look, go ahead.
Absolutely, but let's make another comparison. The colonists, and we've all heard this, no taxation without representation, and that was the reason for the Declaration of Independence, although there is the third paragraph I call a bill of indictment in the Declaration of Independence, and that is where Jefferson listed all of the crimes that King George was committing against the people. Well, I would challenge people to go through that list of crimes back then and tell me it's not the same thing today. But the point is that no taxation without representation. Well, in many ways, the people of the South were exactly the same way. They were being taxed unrealistically, and the majority of the money was staying in the North. And the South was paying the majority of those taxes, and you could say, oh, well, they had representatives. But folks, the representation, the votes for bills, was by democracy. The majority ruled. There were 8 northern states. There were 5 southern states. So do the math. They could vote all they wanted to stop the taxation, which they tried to do. You know, 30 years before the Civil War, they started fighting against this taxation. That was just strangling them to death. And it was being used for northern interest. So their taxpayer dollars were not being used for their own benefit. Well, we've got the same thing today. I mean, you know, how many people wrote a check and sent it to the Ukraine?
Exactly. That's where our money is going. Yes, sir. That's infuriating. Please continue. Sorry.
No, that's okay, buddy. But there is little to no difference here, people. Absolutely no difference. I mean, the people of the South, yes, they had slaves. So did the colonists, people. And the king issued an Emancipation Proclamation, just like Lincoln. So how can the Southerners be such traitorous bastards and be, you know, you can't even play their music, you can't put up their flag, you can't do all of this, but yet in 4 months we'll be jumping around, dancing, eating hot dogs, drinking beer, and singing the Star Spangled Banana.
And all of the, how many slaves were transported under the Confederate flag compared? I don't know of any that were, you know, that transported under the Confederate flag, but plenty were under the United States flag. And something that also always infuriates me is when people start harking back to, yes, there was slavery in the Confederacy, they completely ignore the fact that there are more people enslaved literally in chattel slavery today in the world than were back then total. I mean, right now at this moment, you know, and nobody, they don't want to talk about them. They want to talk about 200 years ago, something that they can use as a bludgeon to get their political will done with, instead of, you know, recognizing the truth.
Oh, very much so. Well, you know, just, I think a great example, and I brought this out on my last Whistling Dixie, but in the assassination attempt on Lincoln, well, they did assassinate Lincoln, but they attempted assassination on Seward, they allegedly on Stanton, and allegedly on the Vice President Andrew Johnson. But one of the things that was brought out was that when on the attack on Secretary of State Seward, one of the people wounded in that attempted attack, now remember when this was, April 14th, the war's been over 5 days, but one of the people wounded in that attack was William Seward's slave. So how do we, you know, where is the, why can't Americans grasp hypocrisy and see exactly how they've been led around by the nose emotionally when the situation, when the circumstances were almost exactly the same?
It's that emotional myth that they've taught us our history with. I think that's to blame in the public fool system, as you often indict, that instead of, you know, listing the facts and the rational explanation, or naming the names of who was pushing the buttons and pulling the levers of power, we just have this morality tale where we're the good guys, we're the patriots, you know, and we overcame the tyranny of King George, and, you know, the world has been better off ever since, when, you know, very little changed. Just, you know, we were still under the bank, you know, the same bank was still in charge. If I understand what correctly, it was just And then all the way up to 1933 when, oh, they got this new deal for us. You know, they made a new deal for us. And it's infuriating that they focus on that slavery as it existed in the Confederacy instead of the, as you point out, the physical, F-I-S, fiscal slavery that we live under today, under since the New Deal and the Federal Reserve, and we're debt slaves. And now with these shots and this digital credit score and geotagging and geofencing, they want to turn it right back into literal chattel slavery where they own us. And yeah, that's where we are. Yes, sir. That's kind of today.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, my grandfather used to tell me, and that was, here we are, some more music. Sounds like Freebird. Be back with you in a few, folks.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Yes, Johnny Reb. Fought all the way, and you fought all the way for freedom. And every time we let these crazy hypocrites, these socialists, I'm trying to maintain my composure here, but every time we let them tear down a statue, every time we let them remove somebody's name, what you people do not understand is that you are complicit with the government in tearing down symbols of freedom. And yes, there was slavery. Slavery was wrong. Yes, we all know that. But as Stephen alluded to a little earlier, the North was making all the money on slavery. And nobody's upset with them. And the southern and the northern states, Indiana, Illinois, others, wouldn't even allow free blacks in their state. And here's a question I've always asked. The people of the South lived with blacks. They lived with them for decades. They lived with them for centuries. And they are the racist. But the people who didn't want them in their states are the heroes. How darn dumb do you have to be not to see this? And people, if the people of the South were traitors under Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, you know, Patrick Claiborne, and all of the others, if they were, so were the colonists under the Minutemen, George Washington, and the Congress of the United States. There is technically zero difference. Stephen?
Yeah, that's something people that are from other parts of the country don't seem to really understand a lot of times about the South. It's like, well, you're a white nationalist, right? Your friends are black too. Yes, I grew up with it. You know, these are neighbors. You know, back when I was a kid, there was still segregation, but there was a much more vibrant families. You know, the families were intact. There were more intact black families when the year I was born than white ones in the South. I mean, the divorce rate was slightly higher for the whites with the year I was born, and boy, they sure destroyed that in the '60s. Yeah, by design. You know, they just it's horrible looking back and seeing what's been done to us over and over again. And like you said, we're complicit by letting them do it, by going along with it, by spending our, you know, I don't know a way out of it. I was in the DMV or the other day to get somebody a permit, driver's permit. I mean, when I was went into Social Security Administration, that was the creepiest. That felt like I was walking into a prison, Mike, with those metal benches, and they're all wearing their masks. I mean, I had to leave. I could not. That just was. And, you know, that just tells me what time it is. And those people were just complicit, compliant, going along with everything, just like good little sheeple. And I thought, man, this is not a good sign. And it's been over 2 years since this, people are still going along with that. I don't understand how once you give them any room at all, they're never giving it back. Tyranny never relinquishes its grip. You have to pry its fingers off your neck one at a time.
Well, very well said, Stephen, and you just absolutely nail it. But people, and you know, the best way to rule a people is to make them dumber than a rock. And this education system has pretty well done that, because how many people have ever even heard of Alexis de Tocqueville? And Alexis de Tocqueville was sent here from France because they wanted to see this experiment in liberty. They wanted to get, and de Tocqueville was considered to be the most intelligent guy in France. So they sent him to America. And what he had to say about the difference in the North and the South is how the blacks and whites were treated. Now, folks, he wrote this in the 1830s. And he said, you know, the difference. He talked about the difference in his work on democracy. He covered it. And he said the people in the South, the blacks in the South, were much better off because they shared meals, they shared church, they shared labor, they shared all kind of things together with their white companions, or even the owners. Yes, there were owners. Some of them were very, very good. Some of them weren't, just like today. And we look at this, and it's... Go ahead, Stephen. I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, I was going to say, and everyone pictures all these slaves as black. And that is that people that were held in bondage were white as well for a long time before the War of Northern Aggression, all the way back to the 1600s. You know, that gets ignored as well.
Yeah, well, the first, you know, the first 3,000 slaves that ever came to America were all white Irishmen and women.
Yes, sir.
But we can't talk about that now. You know, you can't do that. Here is the thing, people. This, you have let this government and the Marxists who control this government in your schools, you have let them indoctrinate you into a life of idiocracy. You can't think for yourself. You can't make it. All you can do is repeat over and over the pablum that you were fed throughout your education. Oh, those terrible, terrible people. You know, it was all about slavery. Well, why can't you say that about the colonists in 1775? They still had their slaves. They still wanted to keep their slaves. You know, King George says, look, if you black folks will come over and join my army and fight against these colonists, I'll give you your freedom. The same thing Abraham Lincoln said. So somebody please point out the actual difference here. How can you do that, Stephen?
Well, those were our founding fathers, Mike. You can't speak ill of them. I mean, look at those beautiful monuments they built to them in D.C. They must have been important men. They must have been very good men to have so much money behind them. Really? I mean, come on. it boggles my mind as well, sir. It just, once you learn the truth about what has really manipulated things here from our founding, you know, and before that, once you learn, some things you can't unsee. And people these days, it goes not just in school, but people don't learn to think anymore. They just get told what to think, and you learn protocols. We're programmed. We're to follow this program that they instilled in us instead of teaching critical thinking. It's hard to unplug from that, to be able to use my mind logically again. I'm forcing myself to physically pick up a book and read it from one end to the other. It's been this thing. It fractures your attention, and people. I remember when I wasn't at on call 24/7 for people. You know that they couldn't just. You know that things were a lot different then. People don't understand how invasive the modern world is. If they're younger than say 30, I would guess it just doesn't dawn on them. You know, they can't picture a time where they could have some peace and serenity and privacy of their own or their own thoughts. You know, it's all got to be tied into what's the latest thing and are you up on it, and it just, it's a means of control too. It's funny that military program LifeLog that it ended the day Facebook started, and you know the whole thing it's been war gamed out from the 1970s and stuff. It's a military operation, just like the COVID hoax was. It's hard to see that and not despair. You know, how do you fight that? I mean, you know more about this than I do, sir. You know a lot more about this than what I'm talking about. But I'm not off base, am I?
Oh no, not even close. You're spot on, and that's, you know, I think it's something that people just don't understand. I remember, I think if I remember correctly, it was in the early 70s, and I went to, I was a big NASCAR fan back then, And I went to the Southern 500, which was usually held on Labor Day in Darlington, South Carolina. And the place was just covered in Confederate battle flags. I mean, they were all over the infield. They were almost everywhere in people's yards. It was everywhere, you know, because in July they had the Dixie 400 back then in Darlington. So here was, and I remember that the guest of honor, or whatever you want to call him, who did, you know, the introduction, he was a Marine Corps 3-star general, lieutenant general. And I'll never forget what he said when he finished with his little speech. And, you know, we had the flyover with the planes and all this other stuff going on. And then he said, "All right, I want to hear that band play Dixie. And when you finish playing Dixie, play Dixie again. And when you finish that, play it again." Now, Stephen, what history has changed since then?
Those
I mean, actual history. Actual history.
Changed,
what has
you know?
Changed?
Yeah, we've just been more conquered. Okay, there's been a Bolshevik revolution in this country, it seems, since then. But I do remember the 70s, and then, not to throw up something else, but you remember that fight on the infield? I watched NASCAR back in the 70s too. Back then, somebody had the battle flag on their car. I forgot who that was, but you know, it's like it was a different planet then, Mike. It really is. When I think back on it, things are so different now. I don't know. I'm glad I was alive to see that. I wish we could go back for the weekend or something. It's just, it can get very frustrating to see what's happening now. And yes, and what's really gotten me concerned, you know, this war propaganda, they just keep pushing that. I don't know when they just will not back off of this. That was something I was looking at earlier today too. Sorry, sir. Don't let me speak of
No, go ahead.
Well, yeah, that supposedly the doomsday plane is in Europe again. I don't know if it flies over there very often, you know, but Zelensky was making this speech saying, "Yes, Americans, you will come and you will die. And this is NATO." And this, it's just disgusting that they want to keep pushing this war. And I was reading about the sedition trials during World War II earlier, you know, to prepare some for this, and it just the echoes of what was being done then and what's happening now, you know, with Putin and Zelensky and the way things were done with Hitler and the beginning of the Second World War before Pearl Harbor, so to speak, when things were escalating. I mean, it's just so much like it is right now with Zelensky and this thing in Ukraine, and they're going to push for more. Tanks are showing up. They're going to send the jets and all this. It's like, why? Come on. We have no interest there. It's nothing but more blood and terror, and it means nothing good for us. These psychopaths in charge that are pushing this, they just disgust me, Mike. I do not understand how we can put up with them. Like you said, every time we let them take down a statue and don't say something, when we don't stand up for the truth in our history, they just get a little stronger and get a little better grip on us. It's like the boa constrictor that's slowly squeezing the life out of us. And if we don't do something soon, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I can get overwhelmed when I see that sometimes. So I was looking at that earlier today, and I don't know. I wanted to ask your opinion about where you think that this military thing is going. Do you think that they're going to keep escalating it, or will they find some way to make some small, short peace for a time? Because I think they want to bring China into it as well.
Well, Stephen, stop and think about something. As a country, we've been at war since October of 2001. We are still at war. Now, we've still got soldiers in countries where they shouldn't be, dominating people who should be left alone. We are still doing that. And here is the reason. You know, if you will remember, the wonderful John McCain said he didn't care if this war lasted for 100 years. And, of course, he was involved with the arming, the people that our soldiers were fighting. And there's pictures of him with the leaders of Al Qaeda when he went to the Middle East. And so It's absolutely incredible what we're seeing happen here. But the reason they want a constant state of warfare is that if people are emotionally psyched up about war, they don't pay any attention to what the government's doing. Now, governments are designed to have war to further dominate their own people, not the other people. But, you know, that's a question I've asked people for, you know, quite a few years. I did a Whistling Dixie where I made some people really angry when I said the United States military is not fighting for our freedom. Because if they were fighting for our freedom, how come we don't have any?
Amen. That was perfectly put, Mike, that they fight these wars to dominate us, not the other people. That war, that is what the racket of war boils down to, along with all the other rackets that go along with it. You know, we discussed the wrenches in Smedley Butler's book, that they made a gross of them, even though there was only one nut that they could ever make, right, that they could tighten. I mean, you know, and that turned into $6,000 toilet seats and stuff. It's just a great big ripoff of all our money, plus a sacrifice of all of our blood. It's disgusting, man. It's the thing that really started me, you know, looking into the actual history because of my father's involvement with the Marauders and stuff back long ago. And I just can't shut up about it. It's infuriating once you know the actual history, or you realize that, as you have so well put it, that your mama's a hoe, that the country is not what we've been led to believe.
Yeah, that's, you know, for all of you people who believe since 9/11 that the military is out there protecting our freedoms, please tell me, how many freedoms have you lost since 9/11? How many freedoms have been taken away from you since 9/11? So you're trying to tell me that these, you know, and that they're actually fighting for our freedom? Well, why don't you have some? Why don't you have more freedoms than you did in September the 11th? And as you mentioned, it just made me think of September the 10th. Donald Rumsfeld comes out on national television and says, folks, we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. There's $2.3 trillion missing from the Department of Defense, and we can't account for it. And then the next day, a missile goes into the Pentagon and hits what? The administrative department.
Where they were looking for the money.
Yes.
and, you know, it's like I heard Dave Scorpio point out about this thing with the Bankman-Fried. That money didn't just disappear. The money didn't disappear. It's not, quote-unquote, missing. It was stolen, man. You know, we've been ripped off. That's what happened. And the news media talk about, well, there's an investigation looking for the funds, and we don't... Come on. We know what's happened, and you know there's a war on, and we are the enemy. Like you, that boils it down to a T. Government is evil, and we are its enemy. It's hard to be so cynical, but that's the truth, man. I mean, you look around and look at the, and it's not government anymore; it's governance now. We have converged into what's governance. How corporations that are. You know, how everything is a corporation anyway. Yeah, that's one of the things that you'll learn, how, you know, in 1871, they set up the U.S. as a corporation to cost, you know, and on. But, you know, the towns are corporations. The churches are corporations. That's this limited liability thing is just destroyed. I think it's really destroyed what society we have. No one has any personal responsibility anymore. It's all cast off into some greater we, the people. You know, it's this greater good or something, instead of taking personal responsibility for our own lives, our own families, and our own land. We've abdicated that to governance, corporations, you know, people that are supposed who are programming us and do not have our best interest at heart. That's what's happened, and it can be infuriating. I don't know how to fight against it except to speak out against it and to try to cut myself off from it as one little piece at a time, as much as I can, cutting myself off from big pharma and the medical system as much as I can, and from the processed food and stuff, to try to be as self-sufficient as possible, that's the enemy they see too. A person who just wants to be left alone, they can't have that. That you're a terrorist. If you want to just be left alone and live your own life and not hurt anybody, well, you are a domestic terrorist these days. That's the way that it seems to me. What do you think, Mike? Does that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, look at when the list first came out from Janet Napolitano, when she was the head of Homeland Security, and the first list they came out with the domestic terrorists, Christians. Ooh, Christians are domestic terrorists. Okay. Mm-hmm. Veterans. Oh, they're domestic terrorists. Second Amendment Foundation people, or so people who propose, you know, defend the Second Amendment, they are potential domestic terrorists. Anti-abortion people are potential domestic terrorists. And that was in the first list. Well, she caught so much flack about the veterans that she removed them from the list. They were no longer the problem. So they took them out. But, I mean, you know, here's a great one. Look at they consider the 3%ers motorcycle groups, or the 1%ers, whichever one you want to call them, as, you know, they're some of the worst people in the world. If you look around, they have to do something about those people. But yet, if you know any of those biker groups, over 90% of them, at least in the high 80%, are usually veterans.
That's true.
And I can understand why they would scare the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because here they are, you've got people who just want, and in many cases, they just want to be left alone. But
yeah,
the government's not going to leave you alone. There's no money in leaving the people alone.
No, sir, there's not. And, the local history from here around, especially from where I live up in the dark corners here, people went their own way and back in the hills and didn't trust outsiders and were pretty insular. And you know, that was a different time then. There's a strong streak of independence there. But they are doing everything they can to destroy that, especially up in the mountains. I've heard of NGOs and groups like that coming in any place.
Yep.
That there is such a local backbone of people that stand together like that. Backwoods mountain people are pretty hard scrabble and tough. You know, they learn to make do. Some of my people come from back there, and you know, I admired them a lot. They were able to do things that with an axe and a mule that I couldn't do with chainsaws and a tractor.
Well, here's a quote for us, Stephen, before we close out the first hour. Quote: "The real purpose of war is to subordinate the mass of one's own domestic population to exploitation at the hands of the dominant ruling class," unquote.
Okay.
And the gentleman who said that said it in 1919, over 100 years ago.
Sounds pretty apt today. Who was that?
If I could pronounce his name, his first name was Carl. I'll spell the last name for you, Liebknecht.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't. But yeah, that's very true. I don't know why we keep going along with it. I mean, during the generation of NOM, people were being drafted. And so that created some backlash. But you know, once they did away with that and turned it into a mercenary army, they pretty much killed the anti-war movement. It's like it's just business as usual these days. And then there was that catalyzing event that they talked about. PNAC said we needed that Pearl Harbor, and I hear the music. Sorry.
There we go. All right, folks, we'll be back with you on the flip side.
In Dixieland, where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And I wish I was. Look away, look away, look away.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.